Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Guys, right now, what a thrill and a joy to welcome to the show one of the legends of rugby league, both as an amazing player and, of course, on the ARL Commission and heading up the Project Apollo, which has meant we will get a competition beginning on May 28. I am, of course, talking about Wayne Pearce Jr. Hello and welcome.
G'day, Tony and the gang.
Before we get into everything that's going on, my researcher here, Wikipedia, is it true, Wayne Pearce, that you front a rock covers band called Wayne Pearce and the Big Hitters?
He can sing. He can sing, I tell you. He can sing.
Sort of kind. You can't believe everything you read in Wikipedia, though. Like, I actually was out there a couple of years ago, and some bloke came over to me and he said, "Yeah, you're Wayne Pearce. Yeah, what is you? I just looked on Wikipedia. It's the same thing." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, it says you died in a car crash this morning."
So somebody
went in and changed it and said, about a couple of hours later, it was changed back again. So you can't believe everything you see on Wikipedia.
Actually, do you know, speaking of changing it, I'm pretty sure Chris Hyington changed the date of his birthday so he seemed younger on Wikipedia, yes. So he got a new contract.
That's right.
At the Sharks. He admitted to that.
That's smart. That's sort of like halfback thinking, isn't it? Sort of thinking.
Junior, you've been head of this Project Apollo. What was the mandate from Peter Volandis once he sat you down and said, "This is what we want you to do"?
Well, MJ, it was just about we sort of had a chat about where the comp was at. This was only about 4 or 5 days after the premiership had been put on hold after round two. And on the Friday of that week, we had a bit of a chat, and he said, "Well, you know, are you up for getting together a task force to see how quickly we can get the game back on the road?" And I said, "Yeah, leave it with me." So that's how it started. And we sort of had been a bumpy road because the landscape's been changing so quickly on so many fronts. But we're going to be up and running in
12 days, baby. 12 days.
12 days. 12 sleeps. 12 sleeps.
Hey,
it's almost a countdown to Apollo. Junior's nickname is the Rocket Man.
Hey, Wayne, it's Emma Lawrence. We've been talking throughout the show about the various challenges you've had getting the Warriors over here, government approval for various things, the refs. Can you put your finger, what's been the biggest challenge so far, if there's been one thing?
The biggest challenge has been working with the governments in relation to the public health regulations and the laws and the restrictions around travel and that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm sure that's an issue that the Aussie rules are still trying to work through. But we've had really good support from the respective governments who understand the importance of getting not only industry back up and running, but cultural events and sport. So, you know, it's been definitely a challenge, but the people in government that we've dealt with have really been positive, from the state governments around Australia, federal governments, ScoMo, and also even New Zealand government. They've been really, really good and collaborative as much as they can be.
Hey, Junior Gerds, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Gerds, good mate.
Hey, I just wanted to ask, there's a little bit of information coming out saying that a lot of the coaches of the 16 NRL clubs weren't over the moon about some of these changes. Now, you guys have, you know, pushed it forward and gone ahead without sort of the acknowledgement from some of those guys. What gives you the confidence to move ahead and make the changes and get on with the job, even though you don't have all the support of the clubs?
I don't think we have all the support of the coaches. I don't know about the clubs.
Yep.
The coaches, as you would know, coaches are very anchored in a methodology, and they've been working for years to perfect ways of getting around quick play the ball speeds by slowing the play the ball down, the wrestling techniques. So, you know, that's why the coaches are against it. I think it's mm-hmm. going to be something the fans are going to love, and it's something that we believe is right for the game. The feedback we get from fans and so many people who are involved in, you know, even players, is that the play the balls are just a nightmare, and referees are, even though the rules are there, referees are reluctant to penalise, because if you think back a couple of years, there was a refereeing blitz on penalties and ruck infringements, and what that caused was a furor because too many penalties. So the new rule that's come in, is designed to sort of get around that dilemma, whereas the referees can still breach the team that's holding the players down, but it's not a penalty. It's actually just going to get zero tackle, go back to zero tackle. So the speed of the game is going to continue, and I think that's going to be good for everybody, and I think it's going to lead to a lot more try-scoring opportunities.
Inevitably, though, there will be teething problems, you'd imagine, as players get used to, A, having just one referee, and B, a raft of changes around the rules involving the ruck. Are you prepared to wear that kind of backlash after through the first few weeks?
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I mean, there's errors at the moment in two referees anyway. I mean, people are talking about, oh, there's going to be maybe a mistake here and a mistake there, but it's happening at the moment. So, you know, the NRL is the only competition, rugby league competition in the world that has two referees. And basically the pocket referee, which is the guy that's there to specifically monitor the ruck, it just ain't working because we're still getting slow play the balls and still getting wrestling. So we need to, and that's because referees are just reluctant to give as many penalties as they need to, as they really should, because it dampens the spectacle. So I think those people who are complaining about the new rule should just hold their breath and just wait and see what transpires in the early games, because I think they're going to be really excited about what they see.
Junior, we've been speaking about Peter Volandis a lot on the show in the first hour, and I'm of the belief that I don't think if he didn't join the rugby league circles that we wouldn't even be close to a game on the 28th of May. Give us a little insight into the bloke. You've got a lot of dealings with him. What's he like personally?
Yeah, no, I've been working very closely with Peter over the course of the last couple of months, just trying to get the game up and running. And he's an excellent leader, particularly in a crisis. You know, he's the sort of guy that in a crisis you need somebody to say, this is where we're going, follow me, this is where how we're going to get there. He's a guy that he comes across as being single-minded, and he is to a point, but he does listen, and he is open to feedback as well. So, you know, I think he came into rugby league with a fantastic reputation as a sports administrator in horse racing, and he's done an outstanding job thus far under enormous pressure in rugby league, he's definitely the right man for the job, and I couldn't speak any more highly of him.
Does he have all the subtlety, say, of Blocker Roach on the field?
No, he's more a Benny Elias, yeah. I would imagine.
He says he wakes up at 4 a.m. to start his rugby league work because he's still doing his racing job as well, so he's juggling both. So, don't know, he's not getting much sleep in there.
Junior, what about the referees? Now, there's obviously still some issues to be dealt with. I think they're in front of the Fair Trading at the moment, talking about the way there's been consultation and so on. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, so the referees, there's 22 full-time referees, and all those full-time referees, so there was the full-time referee group, and then there was a whole bunch of part-time casuals who were running the touchlines. And there was inconsistency in the interpretations versus from the full time to the part timers. So what's going to happen now for the rest of the season, given that we're going back to one referee, is that we're going to have all full time officials. So the referees that were doing centre field refereeing that haven't got a game are going to be doing the sidelines on matches. Right. So effectively, what we've got is we've got pretty much all that full time squad running either the centre field refereeing position or the sideline. So effectively, we've gone from one ref to three refs in the matches when you add the two touch judges and the centre field ref. And then there's going to be an official in the bunker also watching the play the balls. So we're going to have, in our opinion, we're going to have a high quality of officials right across the field. And those officials are going to be there not just for this year. Those officials are guaranteed not necessarily the personnel, because if they don't step up, they won't be there again next year, but the same number of officials will be there again next year as a minimum. And that's something that that we were speaking to the union about, is that, you know, they're not going to be culling numbers in that space.
a few mixed reports, the union coming out and saying that they haven't been consulted, but then there are reports suggesting otherwise. In your opinion, has there been a reasonable level of consultation?
Yeah, I think there has. I mean, there was as soon as the decision was made to by the commission to go to a well, not by the commission, sorry, by a recommendation to the commission. As soon as that was made, there was consultation with the union, and you know that's in my opinion what needed to happen. So there's no I don't know where the problems lie, but I'm sure that will come to the fore as the negotiations go forward.
Junior, obviously the goalposts are moved on a daily basis, and you spoke about some of the difficulties you've had in the early part. But moving forward, as the regulations potentially become a little less, as we saw some relief on over this weekend, and then as we move forward, the cumbersome nature of the NRL, I would imagine, wouldn't be that flexible that you could just sort of change things at the drop of a hat. How flexible are you guys? How are you going to keep sort of moving forward and trying to keep, you know, the Warriors might be able to go home at some point? And what's the plan for that? Or is it just a basically suck it and see sort of attitude at the moment?
No. If the regulations are such that the Warriors can go back to New Zealand, then they'll be able to do that for sure. I mean, the biosecurity protocols are in place to protect the community and protect the players from the coronavirus challenge. And as far as if the situation changes and becomes more relaxed, then as a code, we'll look at where we can relax. But we're going to have hold our players to higher standards than what the community is, because that's the expectation, and we want to make sure that there's absolutely no risk at all. But if there is a relaxation across the board, then we are and maintain a flexible stance as a governing body that we will accommodate where we can shifts in the restrictions.
You've come out. We've seen the draw for the next two rounds. Not yet where those games are going to be played. How close are you? Are you settling on just a couple of venues in Sydney? What's the planning at the moment?
Yeah. There definitely won't be the full home and away allocation of matches like there typically is. Basically, because we've got to make sure the grounds are secure, biosecure, and there's no threat to the players or officials that are going to be attending those matches. So from that to that end, there'll be just a small handful of venues, of which there'll be a couple in Sydney, and there'll be a couple outside of Sydney as well. So, I mean, that's pretty much where we sort of sit at the moment, and they're just being locked down in terms of the specific venues, and that'll be announced in the next few days.
Junior, you're a famous non-drinker. Last 6 weeks, you've been close to a sip.
Oh, MG.
I've got a contact if you need one.
Actually, to be honest, there's a bit of pressure coming on me at Mitchell, my son's wedding coming up at the end of the year. He's putting a bit of pressure on, and I'm saying, mate, you can't expect me to break, can you?
You're a good man, brother.
Will Wayne Pearson, the big hitters, be playing?
Actually, I've got to let you know, the big hitters, we've actually put the guitars in the rack for a while. We've reincarnated as the Aussie Icons.
Okay. We need Junior to sing us out to the break. We need Junior to give us something from you.
Mike Whitney's joined with us, and the Guru is going to join with us as well, Eric Grove. So we're gonna do some gigs together, and we're Aussie Icons. So when we're allowed to get back out in the pubs and clubs and stuff like that, we're going to have a bit of fun again.
What's your favourite cover to sing?
Gee whiz!
You do a good.
What I like about you, that's a pretty cool one.
When the pubs are ready to go. I used to be in a band, buddy, and we never got more than 10 people turning up. So
okay. New band called COVID-19.
Yeah. Wayne Pearce, congratulations efforts so far. Really admire it and enjoy the rest of the season. We'll speak again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for supporting a great game of rugby league. We'll chat soon.
Indeed. There he is from the man. Project Apollo. What a good man, Junior Pearce.